International Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Herbert Marshall and Maureen O'Sullivan in Dear Victim, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you on behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel, welcoming you to the 22nd of the new series of Silver Theater Dramatic Productions. Before we introduce today's play and its players, we'd like to announce that next week, we'll welcome back to Silver Theater Ginger Rogers. And in weeks to come, you'll hear such brilliant stars as Joan Crawford, Lee Tracy, Shirley Ross, Helen Hayes, and others. But now the lights grow dim and the silver curtain rises on the first act of Dear Victim by Grover Jones and True Boardman, starring Herbert Marshall as Robert Desmond and Maureen O'Sullivan as Eileen O'Rourke, with Eric Snowden as Barclay. Derby Day at Epsom Downs, daily event of the British sporting year, when gentleman and gypsy, banker and bookmaker, royalty and roustabouter, one and all, play for the day to the whim of fortune. And as our curtain rises, the moment of moments is at hand, when into the straightaway and driving to the finish come the horses that carry the hopes and fears of all who watch them and millions more besides. As they near the finish, Heather Queen, 100-1 shot, is out in front, with Golden Lad, the favorite, coming up. For a moment, they're stride for stride, and then the finish. It's Golden Lad by half a length. The crowd goes mad, while in a box on the upper tier of the grandstand.
A fine race, Mr. McIntyre. Aye, as fine a race as I ever have seen, Mr. McIntyre.
But your wager was on Heather Queen, Mr. Desmond.
A mere £2,000. But your husband's horse won, and finally, too. Very finely. Congratulations, Mrs. McIntyre.
And name of heaven, man, are you fresh or are you iron? You lose a fortune because your horse loses by a head, and your only words are congratulations for someone else.
Well, I'm glad for you. And now, about our private bet. Barclay. Where's that man of mine? Barclay.
Yes, Mr. Desmond, sir.
My American estate, Barclay. I made a wee wager with Mr. McIntyre here that if his horse beat mine in the race just now, I'd sell it to him at half its worth. And,
the American estate, so you're selling that?
I am. What about the size, Barclay? About around 8,000 acres, is it not?
More nearly 10,000, sir. Some of the finest terrain in all of southern New Mexico, overlooking the River Rio Grande.
Aye, it all sounds perfect, lad, but I feel some guilt about the price. It's not enough.
It's the price I mean, sir. Who would be your wife? And there's not going to induce her to take a farthing more. Anyway, nothing to fill a Scotchman.
Ah, you're a braw lad, Robert Desmond. They will meet in the morning to close the deal.
Aye. And you know, it's only proper we should have an estate on the other side. For as I recall it now, there was a McIntyre who practically molded American history.
It is the price I have named here, von Mueller. Foolishly advised me, and I will not accept a fenig more. Anyway, not for me. For my fellow showman.
No, I will mind here, Desmond.
You know, it is only proper that you should have an estate on the other side, man. Here, as I recall it now, there was a fine miller who practically molded American history.
Eh bien, Monsieur Bouchard, eh bien. But this is the price I have named, and I do not accept a centime more. Anyway, not for me. Not for me, fellow Frenchman.
Yes, Monsieur Desmond, it is agreed.
And you know, Bouchard, it is only proper that you should have an estate there on the other side. For as I recall it now, there was a Bouchard who practically molded American history. That, Signor Alberti, is the price I have named, and nothing would induce me to take all the other more. Oh, no, Bart, it's no use. We'll have to forget about Signor Alberti for a while. For some reason, he apparently escaped me.
Ah, but if you'll recall, you also had trouble with the Russian, sir, and you finally mastered it. The Italian will come. It's only a matter of time.
Indeed. Well, I'm not so sure that I care about this.
Not care?
I'm about fed up. I'm tired of dashing from country to country, staying in one place only until we've lined up a victim, and then having stolen, rushing on somewhere else. You may believe it or not, but I was positively reluctant to cash Monsieur Bouchard's check before we left Paris.
Reluctant, sir? Mm. Why? Is it your fault if people insist on buying your property from you?
Insist, Barker? Of course, these little plans of ours have nothing to do with it. Accidents and all the rest.
Well, we didn't make human nature what it is, sir. And if it's the fact that a Scotchman will more readily trust a Scotchman, a German, a Swede, and so on, are we to be blamed for taking advantage of that fact? Particularly when I have the accents to teach you, and you, sir, have the, shall I say, savoir faire to carry them off. Oh, what an actor you would have made, sir.
You better know about this. There is one thing you overlook, the matter of conscience. Aren't you ever the least disturbed by the moral aspect of our activities?
Not at all, sir. After all, you were the real victim in the first place. The injustice of it all. Your Uncle Joseph going off to America, then dying and leaving you 100,000 acres in New Mexico.
Uncle Joseph could hardly be blamed for dying, Bart.
But he could be blamed, sir, for fostering false hopes. That trip we made, sir, to your American estate. And our first sight of them. Miles, actually miles of desert.
That's the river, Barclay. Don't forget the river.
A moist mirage, sir, if I may call it that. A moist mirage completely quicksand.
No, I never told you this. But there was a strong rumor that my Uncle Joseph came by the entire 100,000 acres in a poker game.
A poker game? You mean he won, sir?
No, Barclay, he lost.
I believe. And what of the future, sir?
Future, Barclay?
Quite, sir. The only prospect I've been able to line up for us is Signor Alberti in Rome. But if you feel your Italian is not yet equal to the task, well...
Suppose we simply rest a while. What time do we arrive in Nice?
At 7, sir.
Good. That won't be too late to drive over to Monte Carlo.
Oh, not Monte Carlo, sir. Surely you remember the last time.
Bastard, there's an indescribable something that draws me to Monte Carlo once again, and this time I shall win.
Very well, sir. But, Mr. Desmond, just in case... You shouldn't, sir. Wouldn't it be as well to, shall we say, remain incognito for just a day or so? When you first arrive, I mean?
In other words, you want me to lie low while you line up another victim, is that it?
You put it so eloquently, sir. After all, there is still that one last section of your American estate to be disposed of, and...
Darkly, you're right, as always, and shut it down. Until you find out what nationality I can afford to be, I'll compromise by being international with my friends. But you needn't fear, I'm going to win... I have a system about to
me. Faites vos yeux, mesdames, monsieur. Faites vos yeux. Make your bet.
Pardon me, sir. But could I trouble you to put this on my number?
Comment? Troublez-vous?
My number, 27. I can't reach it. Would you be so kind?
Monsieur, speak the English, mademoiselle. Yes, if you please, I shall place it for you. Yes. Rien va plus.
Three.
Oui, the mademoiselle is correct. Trois et noir.
Oh, them's the last three chips, Mr. Banker, and me that swore I'd wreck the Bank of Monte Carlo. What are the chances of you doing something about it this time?
I can try, mademoiselle. Faites vos yeux.
Pardon me, monsieur. Would you? Oh, I forgot. You don't speak.
Mais oui, mademoiselle. Francis comes on, huh?
Oh, merci. I didn't think that you understood.
Francis, Francis et noir. I pity, mademoiselle, you missed by a single coin. You wish more chips, perhaps?
No, merci. I don't think I'll play anymore. But thank you just the same. Thank you.
Coupez, monsieur.
Gardez mes chatons.
Oh, bon, monsieur. Et maintenant, faites vos yeux, mesdames.
Mademoiselle. Mademoiselle.
Yes? Who is it?
Oh, you.
Oui, mademoiselle.
Oh, monsieur, I hope that because I asked you to place my debt for me in there, you don't think that... Oh, but you don't speak any English, do you?
I do not. But perhaps I do speak a bit of Irish.
But glory be. And will you tell me, what is the idea of a fellow Irishman paying the stinks on me in there, and me trying to keep them foreigners from winning all me money?
Sure, you mustn't be quitting when you're losing. Come back and play until you win.
Oh, well, to be truthful, sure I have no money left.
I'll lend you some. You can pay me back from what you win.
And do I look to you like a girl who'd borrow money from a total stranger?
But I'm not a stranger. We're fellow countrymen. Probably the only two Irishmen in all of Monte Carlo at just this moment.
Do you think so now?
Yes, for knowing each other, that's quick to remedy. I'm Robert Desmond.
Oh, are you indeed?
Well?
Well?
Well, the truth to tell, I was just slightly curious who you might be.
And were you now? Well, truth to tell, I might be almost anyone. But if you're really curious about it, my name is O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? A fairish name is O'Rourke.
There is, isn't he? And perhaps you find Eileen is only fairish, too.
Eileen?
sure, and it would be a name like that. Eileen. Maureen. Kathleen. A name as Irish as the idol herself. Faith, no other name would suit you.
I think I'd best be going now, Mr. Desmond. Good night.
Wait. I must see you again. Have dinner with you. Lunch. Tomorrow.
Dinner? Lunch? What would you be meaning?
Well, why not both?
You overlook one thing, Mr. Desmond. There happens to be a Mr. Thomas O'Rourke, who happens to be my father, and who happens to be in Monte Carlo,
your too. Father. Well, bring him along. Both of you be my guests.
All right. Perhaps we will. Mind you now, I said perhaps. Then, on the other hand, perhaps we won't. Good night, Mr. Desmond.
Good night. Good night, Irene.
Mr. Griffin, sir, you must have won, judging by your face, sir.
Won, Doctor?
At the roulette, sir, surely.
Ah, can you imagine? Sure, and I clean forgot it, I have.
Sure, and you clean forgot. And may I ask, sir, when the green mantle descended?
Just 10 minutes ago, Barker. I told you we should come to Monte Carlo.
Indeed, sir.
She's beautiful, Barker. She's perfect. You can see her eyes, blue and laughing. Her hair, with just the faintest shade of redness.
If I may make so bold, sir, who is she?
Her name's Eileen, Barker. Eileen O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? And her father, sir, he wouldn't be Thomas O'Rourke?
Why, yes, as a matter of fact, he is.
Ah, then you were right, sir. Monte Carlo had brought us luck. To think that you should have started it off so well.
Started it off? What are you talking about?
The girl's father, Thomas O'Rourke. I have him all picked out, sir. He's our next, our final victim.
This is Conrad Nagel again, ladies and gentlemen, taking advantage of this brief moment of intermission between Act 1 and 2 of our performance to bring you the familiar voice of our Silver Theater spokesman. All right, John Conti.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know how proudly a woman wears her new fur coat, with what an air of preciousness she displays it to her family and friends. Well, a woman's first sterling silver gives her even greater satisfaction. Not only because genuine solid silver is in itself so magnificent and luxurious, but even more because she knows its lustrous beauty is imperishable. Women are particularly lavish in their appreciation of international sterling silver. And when you see the exquisite grace of international sterling patterns, you'll understand why. For every detail of design reflects the loving labor of silversmiths who intimately know their task. Master craftsmen who carry on the rich heritage of beauty and quality left them by their predecessors of a century ago. Yet, incredibly beautiful as international sterling is, it's a lot easier to own than you may think. Now, if tomorrow, Monday, you'll go wherever the best silverware is sold, the dealer will be glad to show you how, under International Sterling's budget payment plan, you can buy a complete solid silver service out of income. How you can start a service with individual plate settings in the lovely Enchantress pattern. 6 pieces of solid silver, as low as $16.75. Be sure to take advantage of this friendly invitation tomorrow and learn firsthand how easy it is to own solid silver that's a lifetime treasure. International Sterling Silver.
Once again, the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain rises on the concluding act of Dear Victim, starring Herbert Marshall as Robert Desmond and Maureen O'Sullivan as Eileen O'Rourke. Three weeks have passed. Three extremely Irish weeks for the man with many countries who is Robert Desmond. Yet somehow, to the despair of Barclay, the final coup, the sale of the last of the American estates, has not taken place. And it looks as though it never will. Or as our curtain rises.
Daddy and I both want to say goodbye to you, Robert.
It's been a privilege in knowing you, Desmond. Who's to tell you the first Irishman who ever went to America and came back again like you cup and fall?
I'm honored that you're off.
You probably guessed by now, Robert. But Daddy isn't very fond of America.
Well, aren't you over fond enough of the two of us? Since she was four, she's been talking of going to New York and California and all sorts of blather. Sure, you haven't helped with any but the talk of those estates of yours.
I'm sure they couldn't compare to your Donnelly's castle.
You can be sure they don't. We may not have 10,000 acres, but we've petitioned 800 years of them. And a castle that Brian Brew himself...
No, Daddy, she was not interested in all that. And besides, you started to say goodnight.
Huh? Oh, I did do that. Well, good night, then. Eileen, you're coming along upstairs.
I'll be just a minute. Please, Daddy.
Well, she is no more.
You might believe it.
I don't believe.
That I'm actually talking to you alone. You realize I haven't slept that first night.
When I was so unlucky as we left, and you were playing your system. What happened to that system, by the way?
I think the less said about that, the better.
You've had bad luck ever since you've been here.
Bad luck? The only real piece of luck I've ever had was when a blue-eyed Irish girl happened to have the place next to me at that roulette table.
Oh, Robert.
Eileen.
I must go. Truly, Daddy will be...
And when can I see you again?
Oh, who knows? We sail tomorrow, and Denali Castle is pretty far from the building of the stairs in New Mexico.
You're right. It's much too far. What can we do about that, Eileen?
I'm not sure how would I be known. But of course, if when my father and I sail on that boat from Marseille tomorrow, if I'm sailing, if a certain Irish American should happen to be on board, and if it should happen all of a sudden to get extremely interested in old Irish castles, well, all I can say is that Thomas O'Rourke is a very hospitable man. Good night, Mr. Desmond.
Eileen.
Tax, sir? Tonight?
Yes, Doctor. We're sailing for Marseille tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Sailing?
For Dublin.
The O'Rourke's excellent.
It's anything but excellent.
I know, sir. I've noticed that. You're not functioning with your usual speed in this particular case. Something seems to have happened to that savoir faire we were speaking of not long ago.
Never mind about my savoir faire. Start packing.
Very good, sir. You know, I'm sure of it, sir. There's just one answer.
One answer?
The girl. It hardly seems chivalrous, but you must influence the father through the daughter, sir.
What are you driving at, Barclay?
This, sir. This book. If there's one universal failing of young Irish girls, it's poetry. Particularly the poetry of Thomas Moore.
Barclay, what?
For example, sir, this one. The time I've lost in wooing, in watching and pursuing, the light that lies in woman's eyes has seen my heart's undoing. The wisdom
That's
of...
That's enough of that. You'll start packing about that.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
You should be.
Very good, sir. Very good.
Barclay?
Yes, sir.
Let me see that book, will you?
Mr. Desmond, sir. She's alone, forward on the hurricane deck.
Listen, Barclay, you're my vet. It's not my confidential spy.
I'm sorry, sir, truly. Only I thought.
Well, then don't think.
I understand, sir. Believe me, I suppose I should have warned you.
Warned you? Warned
you? Yes, if there's one thing that's fatal to our business, it's the woman. That is, when woman in the abstract becomes a woman in particular. In other words, a woman is the proverbial monkey wrench in the proverbial work.
Will you go away and leave me alone before I wring your proverbial neck?
But of course.
Wait a minute. Where did you say Miss Eileen was?
Did I say so?
Yes, you said. Where is she?
Well, I'm afraid she's on the hurricane deck forward, sir. I'm afraid.
Eileen.
Robert. That's a beautiful evening.
Beautiful.
Do you know what I was doing? I was looking off to the north. The train is over there. And people are being killed and wounded. What should have seemed all wrong somehow for some people to be suffering so much while other people are...
Yes, while other people?
I was going to say while other people are so happy. But then I suppose no one's really and truly whole chicken to doodle happy, are they?
I suppose not.
Daddy tells me he's invited you to join in the castle, and you're coming. I'm glad.
Are you now?
Would you not like to go down and dance? It'd be a pity to be wasting the music.
I mean.
Yes, Robert.
Have I ever told you how beautiful you are?
No. Not unless I'm supposed to feel things from your eyes. Then maybe you have. Never.
Have you never felt things too deeply to be able to find just the words for them?
I can imagine it, Robert.
I mean, listen to me.
find it, dear.
The time I'd lost in wooing, in watching and pursuing, the life that lies.
A woman, darling, has been your heart's undoing. That's how the rest of it goes. Did you forget?
I did not forget. But those are someone else's words, I need. And when you have verses from me, sure, they'll be my own.
Will they know?
And there's something I want you to remember. Will you do that?
I'll remember. I promise you.
Then speak. But there are times when a man can hate himself for what he is and wish with all his heart that he was something else.
What a strange thing for you to say.
Well, it takes the place of a lot of other things I'd rather say.
Oh, I see.
Look at me.
There's no need.
Why, Eileen, you...
You've got to listen to me, Robert. John Ellie Castle, in spite of all you've heard my father say about it, I hate the place, and there's nothing I want more than to get away.
Eileen.
Remember once you said you might dispose of your estates in America? Well, I've been talking to my father about buying them.
About buying them?
Of trading them. No, trading our estates in Ireland for yours over there. And I believe that with your help, my father could be won around.
You want me to help you sell your father?
Oh, please, Robert. America's always been my dream. And from what you say to your estates, there's no place I'd rather live. Oh, please, Robert. Help me win my father to the trade. You must. You can know what this means to me.
Well, Desmond, you've seen the Mary Castle for yourself. If you have a heart, you've come to feel much of the tradition that clings to her very walls.
I have indeed, sir.
But since Eileen has a foolish heart sent on this American estate of yours, we'll make the trade. You have here a map of your estate.
Yes.
Here it is, sir. And I took it on myself to have a solicitor draw up a bill of sale, sir.
10,000 acres. Did you value it at £10,000?
That has been the figure, sir.
Yeah, that same amount is only a fair price for the castle here. I have an agreement drawn up, too. Eileen. Eileen!
Oh, where is that girl?
If you'll but wait, I'll fetch it.
It's working splendidly, sir. You know, of course, what he's doing.
What?
He's trying to bilk you, sir. This castle isn't worth a farthing over 4,000, and he knows it. And he thinks he's getting property worth 10 by the exchange.
Indeed.
You're not so very enthusiastic, sir, considering what this means. Despite your losses at Monte Carlo, we still have some 6,000. Then with the 4 or 5 that Donnelly Castle will bring...
Dorothy, will you kindly stop making a noise like an adding machine?
Here he is. All ordered to ship here.
Robert, Daddy tells me you've agreed to make the trade.
We have that. We've been...
It's all done with the signing. A note walk. Signing away to Nelly. Oh, well, give me the pen and we'll get it over.
Daddy, sure, you mustn't feel like this, no.
Well, what matter how I feel?
It matters a great deal, Mr. O'Rourke.
What's that?
Mr. Desmond.
Quiet, Doctor. I'm out of my mind. Mr. O'Rourke, there's something I want you to understand, you and Eileen.
Yes, Robert, what?
Come in. Well, what is it?
The telegram just come for you, sir. They said it was most urgent.
A telegram? Well, give it to me.
Yes, sir.
Oh, good heavens.
Daddy, what was it say? Are you...
Yes, I'm all right. All right, Eileen. It's just that our agreement, Mr. Desmond, I can't be able to go through with it now. This makes it impossible. I'm sorry, believe me.
But Eileen, my dear, if your father's in some sort of trouble, there's a chance that I can help.
Oh, you couldn't, Robert. Believe me.
I'll believe you when you look up here at me and tell me what is wrong.
All right, Robert. My father can't trade Donnelly Castle to you because he must sell it at once for cash. He must have money now.
But why?
Investments, Robert. Speculations that were worthless. And now there's a debt that must be met. And only cash can use it.
How much does he need?
Oh, it's nearly 4,000. But you see, there's no hope, Robert.
Is there not? Perhaps there is. Eileen, how much is Donnelly Castle really worth? In cash, I mean.
Why do you ask that?
Because I'm going to pay your father what it's worth, with the understanding that when he's ready, he can buy it back for the same price.
Oh, Robert, but why?
Why? Because you've made me want to do something, and to be something I've never been, Eileen. And this is the beginning.
Robert.
I love you, Eileen.
I can't, George. I can't.
Eileen, look at me. You're crying.
You've got to know, what? Robert.
You've got to know, Eileen.
You're not what I think.
What are you trying to say?
That I'm... What are you trying to say?
But just this, that I'm not Irish. My escape in America are desert, and that I love you.
Oh, Robert, Robert.
What were you trying to say?
That I'm not Irish. That Dad and I never own more than an option in any castle in creation. And that I love you.
Oh, darling.
Oh, my sweet, my sweet. If I'd only known you were a phony from the first. The torture that would have saved me.
Sure, and what about... And what about me? So, from the beginning, I've been the victim of a hoax.
From the beginning, darling. That night in the casino at Monte Carlo. Daddy picked you out especially because you looked so honest and so dumb.
Of course, there have been other victims before.
A dozen of them. Oh, Robert, we stole so many castles in this country for 3 times what they're worth. But...
And I suppose that each of your victims fell in love with you.
I'm afraid they did, Mr. Desmond. Do you mind too much?
Mind? Come here.
Come here?
I suppose you know that you're a shameless woman.
Completely.
And that you should be turned over to the nearest constable.
Exactly. Along with you.
Always. Always with me. From this day forward. You have my word on it.
Only your word, darling.
No, by heavens.
Oh, my darling. My own darling.
Yeah, Eileen, did you...
Mr.
Eileen,
sir.
Hi, Dad. How's the old man?
Greetings, Bartley. How's tricks?
Why? Well, really, Eileen, now I ask you, is that any way for you to...
Oh, relax, Dad, relax, or you'll stand out as comedy relief. We're playing this scene straight.
What?
This would seem to be wolf meeting wolf, Mr. O'Rourke. I'm not going to buy your traditions, and you're not going to buy my desert.
Oh, sir, you shouldn't have said that, sir. If you don't mind my saying...
Well, I do mind your saying it, Barker, which reminds me, you're fired. But if you can conceive of being an honest man again... We'll take you back to America with us. Right, Miss O'Rourke?
Right, Mr. Desmond.
Eileen, you mean we're going home?
I'll say we are.
Now that I think of it, I should have been back in America a long while ago. You know what, Barker?
What, sir?
As I recall it, there was a Desmond who practically molded American history. And if there wasn't, then there's going to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the play you just heard is Dear Victim. The names of our stars, who will be back in a moment for a personal greeting, are Maureen O'Sullivan and Herbert Marshall. And speaking of names, I wonder if you realize how much they stand for in our daily lives. An author's name on a book cover, an artist's name on a painting, the label of a smart designer in a dress. They represent recognized standards of quality. So, too, the name 1847 Rogers Brothers on silver plate represents the finest in silver plate. Silver plate that will add distinction and luster to your dinner table. For the house of 1847 Rogers Brothers has maintained leadership in silver plate design and craftsmanship for 91 years. One of the most radiant examples of their skill and artistry is the pierced pattern Lovelace, a pattern simple as all truly beautiful things are, with graceful tapering lines and wreathed orange blossom motif, a design whose sterling-like detail is really unusual. Only 1847 Rogers Brothers could create a pattern as entrancing as Lovelace and offer it to you at savings so remarkable. For just listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, a service for 8 in the Lovelace pattern, 62 pieces of beautiful silver plate, can be yours now at a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. Now, this service comes not only in Lovelace, but also other stunning 1847 Rogers Brothers patterns. See them all at your silverware dealers tomorrow, Monday, and learn on what easy payment terms you can own silver plate by the most famous silversmiths in America, 1847 Rogers Brothers Silver Plate.
Mr. Conrad Nagel, ladies and gentlemen, before we tell you about next week's Silver Theater production, I'd like to have you meet today's stars in person. And here they are. Maureen O'Sullivan and Herbert Marshall. Well, I think you both know without my saying so that we at the Silver Theater have enjoyed working with both of you immensely.
Thank you, Conrad. But I must give Maureen O'Sullivan due credit, for without her stellar acting and assistance on my Irish dialect, I should have been quite a loss.
Sure, I'm thinking that both of you have been kissing the blarney stone. No, seriously, those seem lots of fun, and I hope you'll ask me back again sometime.
We certainly shall, and now it's...
I know our time's getting short, Conrad, but our Mr. Marshall has an announcement that he tells me he must make.
Oh, all right, Barney. Come on, get on with it.
Very well. Ladies and gentlemen, any dialects presented by me on this program are not to be confused with any dialects living or dead, and any such similarity is purely accidental. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Barney. Good night, Barney.
Miss O'Sullivan appeared on today's program through the courtesy of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, where she is now appearing in a new Tarzan picture. Mr. Marshall may currently be seen in the Paramount picture Zaza, in which he is co-starring with Claudette Colbert. Next week, Silver Theater will star Ginger Rogers in another original story by Grover Jones and Drew Boardman, with more original music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Be sure to listen. Silver Theater originates at Columbia Square in Hollywood. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.